Few things have ignited my spiritual fire over 15 or so years of vocational pastoring, vocational preaching, teaching, and ministry of the Word than home, God's way. God certainly changed me. He's still changing me, but he radically began to change me as I studied what he had to say early, thank God, in our first daughter's life, and began to sanctify Michelle and I in our marriage and in our parenting. There are a few things I've studied more over the years, a few things I've read about, researched more. Home, God's way. Children and parents under Jesus' lordship. Colossians 3, verse 20, and then verse 21. The word of our God says this: Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. May God speak to us today through his holy word. Change us today by his holy word. May Christ alone be exalted. God delights in children. We need to just start our thoughts this morning right there. God Almighty delights in children. The very first command he gave to Adam and Eve, first humans, was to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. He said the same thing to Mr. and Mrs. Noah as they got off the ark after the flood. Fill the earth, be fruitful and multiply. God wants married couples to have babies. Lots of them. By natural propagation and by adoption. God delights in children. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Psalm 127, verse 3. I think in our culture, which has systematically slaughtered over 60 million children in their mother's wombs, we just might need to hear from God today on this. I think in our culture, where in some minority communities, a child is more likely to be killed in the womb than to be born, we just might need to hear from God this morning. I think in a culture where in some minority communities, over 50% of children have no dads in the picture at all. Many of them don't even know who dad might be. I just might think we need to hear from God today in this matter. In a culture where now social influencers, whatever that means, online influencers like Noah Berlatsky. Don't know this guy, but apparently he's got a huge following. He's a social Marxist, and he has recently tweeted that parents are tyrants and that they are part of the oppressive class. Now, if you've not been coming to Sunday school on Wednesday night, that might not mean anything to you to hear someone start to label parents as the oppressive class. But if you've been coming and we're dealing with these critical theory, critical race theory, Darwinian evolution, and all of this man-made philosophical garbage that's not according to Christ, that has infiltrated every public school, that is in every university and college, save a few that are Bible colleges devoted to the Bible, that is filling our political atmosphere, all of our leaders at every level buying into this, to declare parents an oppressive class is a dangerous thing for the future of America. And Berlatsky goes on and says, essentially the parent-child relationship is nothing but oppression and abuse, and essentially should be done away with. So in our culture that allows 9-year-olds to sue their parents, I'm thinking we might need to hear from God today. Pretty excited right off the bat. We need to hear from God. And I want you to know, on the authority of God himself, God delights in children's obedience to parents. That's the truth of verse 20. And God delights in parents' consistent gospel encouragement of children. That's the truth of verse 21. Even the apostles and the early disciples adopted their culture's view of children. At one point, we're told in Mark chapter 10, for example, that they tried to shoo away the kids as Jesus was teaching. Right? They go away. You can't handle the teaching of Jesus Christ, you little kids. You're a nuisance. You're unable to learn the deep truths of God. And Jesus rebuked them strongly. Let the little children come to me, he said. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Could it be any clearer? Oh, the difference the divine perspective makes. Some 30 years after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended back to the right hand of the Father, the Apostle Paul holds up and holds out God's delight in children and God's view of the home to the churches of Colossae. He does that in our text today primarily by addressing children directly. You see that? Children, calls them out. When God speaks directly to you, what a grace. Kids, look up here. I want you to listen. The first half of this sermon on verse 20 is for you. It's from God to you, children. God is giving you grace. He's speaking to you. He's revealing what's best for you. What a grace. What a kindness. He delights in you. Calls you out in the assembly. And also, Paul turns convention of his day, once again, on its head. He's done that repeatedly, right? He addresses the children before the parents. Wives before husbands. Radical, Roman, Greco world knew nothing of that. And in many, many instances, the Jewish world at that time knew not much of that either. God's way is always countercultural and counter-curse. Wives before husbands, given dignity and dressed first. Children before parents, given dignity and dressed first. The household codes of Rome would have never addressed a child directly. They weren't worthy of that, you see. Home God's ways, countercultural, countercurse. Now, folded neatly into verse 20 are three very critical assumptions that I want to lay down for us before we proceed any further. And so tucked up into verse 20 again says, by the way, parents and children, you should memorize this one together in your home. It's become a standard. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now fold it up into that, three critical assumptions. Are you ready? Number one, children are expected to be in the worship assembly of the church of the risen Christ. It's clearly assumed. Why else address them directly in a letter breathed out by God that Paul knows will be read as authoritative from God to the gathered church in their worship assembly? That is, by the way, the only model you will ever see from Genesis to Revelation. The assembly of God when they gather for worship is everyone, all ages, from child to the oldest. That is the model of the Bible, and I am here to tell you it has cost me a bit here and there, not in this church, thank God, but it has cost me to say some of these things. But you would never, ever get the idea for children's church from your Bibles. You would never come up with that idea if all you had was your Bible. It saddens me when I'm in churches as a guest and I see them, they can sing. Let them sing and dance and have fun. Now, sermon. It's sermon time. You need not hear the preaching of the Word of God. I have sat sometimes in churches we used to be in and wept as that happened. And praise God, over 9 years here, we have gravitated away from it. And as long as God gives me breath in this pulpit, we'll not go back to it. But we do need to get better. Your pastors know this. Your leaders know this. We're committed to it. We do need to get better at equipping every parent to raise your children well, to know how to worship with the church. We take that responsibility, and we want to take it seriously. That's one of the reasons we've offered family coaching to you now. That's assumption number one. Children are expected to be in the worship gathering of the church. And that's what you'll see in Ephesians, what you'll see in the Old Testament. Here's assumption number two. Well, that's a good one. Children matter to God. I've already hit on that nail, but just think about it again. God speaks to you kids. He stoops way down and he gets right down where you are, right? And he starts speaking to you. What a gift of grace. Children matter greatly to God. Here's the third assumption of verse 20. And this one's the best one of all. God intends to save and sanctify children by the blood of Jesus Christ. What God commands his people to do, he empowers them by his saving, sanctifying grace to do. God assumes children can listen and obey God because he knows he can give them the power, and he clearly wants to, or he wouldn't bother with this, right? God doesn't waste breath. He is speaking commands to his children in his church because he wants to save them. He delights in saving children. He delights in sanctifying children. Don't for a second tell me God doesn't delight in saving children and that he doesn't do it, because I got saved as a pretty young kid. And I know God saved me as a young kid. God did it. I wasn't looking for him, I promise you. But he sure did come looking for this young lad. God wants to save and sanctify children. Hallelujah. That's a pretty good God. That's an understatement. God commands his people, and then he empowers his people. This is true for children as it is for adults. And so, children gathered here today, teenagers, I'm going to include you, at least at this point. I know you're kind of in that adult transition, but children, listen. Look up here. Parents, jab them, poke them, whatever you got to do. Look up here. God's talking to you today. Does that mean anything to you? Boy, I hope it does. God is saying something. He's telling you what he delights in. He's telling you how to live a life that glorifies Jesus. He's telling you what pleases him. This is what God commands you today, kids. Obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You see how kind God is? He's not like your parents. He tells you what to do and why. He could easily, if anybody has the right to say, "Because I told you so," it's God. But he's so kind that he actually even tells you why. He gives you motive. It's a good model for parents too, by the way. Don't get me wrong, there's a time for "I told you so" because I said it, but we need to model ourselves more after the tenderness of God in our parenting. What is best for you, child? Obey your parents. That's what he wants you to do. It's pretty clear, pretty simple, isn't it? Except that it's impossible. Unless, children, listen, God's speaking to you. This part of the sermon, this verse, is from God to you. You need to start praying. If you don't, you need to start praying to God and asking him to help you obey him by obeying your parents. Ask him to help you want to obey your parents, because without God's help, you don't even want to. But God delights in helping you. He delights in empowering you to obey him by obeying your parents. Now, the obedience goes beyond the submission of wives to husbands. We probably just need to clarify that for the marriage sake in here, right? Granted, submission sometimes takes the form of obedience, but that parent-child authority and the lines of authority there are far different than the lines of authority of the headship over the husband and wife, right? Far different. God never authorizes a husband to force his wife to submit. We covered that, but I want to say it again. But God expects and commands parents in general, dads in particular, to actually, by positive encouragement and negative correction, to compel your child to obey. We'll cover that more, but God's clear on this. It should not be an option for your child to disobey. And it's your job as a parent to remove that option. All right? Now, children, again, you should be praying that the option wouldn't even make any sense because God's given you a heart that loves to obey your parents because you love to obey God. And that's how parents ought to teach it, by the way. It's not enough, child. It's not enough, young man, young woman, little boy, little girl, to just stomp off in obedience. All right, this thing is holding me here, this microphone. We're still working on my Garth Brooks, and I'd stomp and stomp off. If I stomp off, you won't be able to hear me if you're on the live stream. So it's not okay to obey with a really bad attitude. All right, that's not what God wants. Now, your parent may be satisfied with that for a day, but God wants you to want what He wants. That's what He wants for all His people. Do you think God knows what's best for you, children? You can answer out loud. Children, do you think God knows what's best for you?
Yes.
Yes, He does. He wants you to want what He wants. So pray and ask Him, help me want what you want. Change my heart. God, give me a heart that doesn't obey and I'm mad on the inside. I'm obeying, but I'm not happy about it. No, that doesn't bring any glory to Jesus Christ. Is that how Jesus obeyed His Heavenly Father? Not once, never, not on your life. Always a joyful submission and obedience. And do you see how Paul, and God through Paul, gives you that motive, child? Children, do you see God wants you to live for His glory, for the glory of the Lord Jesus? He tells you why He wants you to do this, because it's what pleases Him. You see, everybody in the church is under the lordship of Jesus. Everybody. Even children are expected to learn by grace how to live for the glory of Jesus Christ. How to do everything they do, verse 17, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This is how you do that, primarily, children. You learn to delight in obeying God by learning to delight in obeying your parents. And your parents have responsibilities too. It's a beautiful relationship God's created where they're growing in Christ and so are you. And you learn to trust them. But here is the kicker. Here's what your ultimate goal, I think, as parents and children should be. That you would say in your heart, Dad, I'm obeying you because I love Jesus more than you. But I also love you, Dad. Amen? Oh, to have a church full of children that are given that heart. Mom, I'm obeying you because I want to obey God. And oh, to have parents that even as they correct their children would say those things to their children. Child, I need to correct you because God commands me to, and I must obey God because I love God more than you, but I love you a whole lot too. That's home, God's way. Children, obey your parents in everything. That sounds crazy, but you see, it's causing God's economy. A child, this is Christian homes being addressed. Let's remember that. Christian parents, Christian homes. It's in everything because in God's way of seeing things and in God's economy, children are in no position to negotiate with parents. And parents, you should not allow it. The five-year-old should not be negotiating obedience. The five-year-old should obey right away and know that to delay is to disobey. I encourage you parents to just get that in your children's head, make them say it a gazillion times, obey right away, to delay is to disobey. Obey right away, that's what God wants you to do. To delay it is to disobey. In everything, because nine-year-olds shouldn't be negotiating obedience with the rightful authority God's put in their life, which is dad and mom. Verse 21, God delights, verse 20, God delights in children's obedience to parents. Verse 21, God delights in fathers in particular, parents in general, consistent gospel encouragement of children. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You see how God's into sanctifying everybody in the home. Everybody here is going to be cast upon the pierced feet of Jesus where they're begging for grace, because no one's flesh wants to do these things that God commands you to do. It doesn't come naturally for a child to delight in obeying anyone. Not a parent, not God, not anyone. And you can find that out by month 18 of every child's life. Smack that 18-month-old's hand and say no and see what kind of response you get. You will get the natural, inborn, sinful nature of Adam response every time. You have never met the 2-year-old who will say, "Thank you, Mom, for slapping my hand. I delight in you correcting me because I know you have my best interest at heart." That's not how sin works. That's not natural. But God can make you supernatural. When He saves you, when He works in your heart, even as children, when He begins to work grace into your heart and to bring you to faith in Jesus Christ, He'll make you a different child. He'll make you a different teenager. He'll make you a different college student. He'll make you want what He wants. And no parent naturally, by the way, wants to have to hear that it's not okay to parent by yelling, by also stomping and throwing a fit like a child, by threatening. These are not godly parenting strategies. They're not even good secular parenting strategies. Don't provoke your children. Fathers. Now the shift, you see, is from parents to fathers. Children, obey your parents. Greek word gones, parents. Pateras. Do not provoke your children. Fathers, why the shift? Our culture, I've already hit on this, so I won't say much more, but our absolutely feminized culture would think that that's senseless and we should just not go with the original Greek wording here and just say, parents, don't provoke your children. Of course, it's applicable to moms. Of course it is. But you will miss the point. You will miss the design of God for the home if you retranslate that. There's a word for mothers. There's a word for fathers. There's a word for parents. And God breathed out dads. Because God lays the responsibility for everything in the home at your feet, dads. You're the head, humanly speaking, of your household under the ultimate headship of Lord King Jesus. You ought to delegate a lot of the parenting responsibilities to your wife. She's going to spend far more time, especially in our culture, with your children than you. And so you ought to support her 100% in all that. But make no mistake about it. God commands dads to lead their home, dads to raise up children, dads to be the leader in the home. Psalm 78 says, "He has commanded our fathers to teach us His law, His statutes, His ordinances, His way." Deuteronomy 6, we heard, fathers to sons to sons. Ephesians 6, 4, the parallel passage in Ephesians 6. In 6, 4, he does the same thing in Ephesians 6, 4. He says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but rather raise them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Dads are singled out every time by God, because this responsibility primarily is yours. Don't shirk it. Don't neglect it. Ask God to help you delight in learning to lead and love your home, your family, your children, your wives, like Jesus does. You see, God must know. In fact, I am sure He does. There's nothing He doesn't know. He clearly does know that we men have this tendency for pride and provocation. You see how twice now He's told dads and husbands, don't be harsh. It's prideful. It's provocative. Don't be harsh with your wives. Be tender. Don't be harsh with your children. Don't provoke them. That word means exasperate. I prefer that translation. Fathers, do not exasperate your children, lest they lose heart. I prefer that translation. Lest they give up. You get to the point as a child where you lose all hope of ever pleasing mom or dad. There's no pleasing this parent. You crush the spirit of a child when you parent that way. You see, if a dad is harsh and he provokes, the word literally as I can get it, means to push or challenge someone to the point that they feel like they must respond. They must rise up to the challenge and push back. So it's like when I was in school, I don't know if boys still do this, but we would have contests where we'd punch one another in the shoulder, right? You'd buck up, whack. And then, what do you think, the guy hits me in the shoulder, what do you think my response is going to be? Do I want to hit that person just with perfect equity? Perfect equality, just the exact same amount of force he hit me with. Again, not natural. It's not how Adam's nature works. I want to hit you harder because I want to win. And I'm going to, oh boy, that was, and I'm going to do harder. That's the cycle Paul's describing that we can get into in parenting, where you push the child, pushes out, you push back. I push harder because I'm the parent. Push back. And the Greek word here, it's not frequently used, but it's significant. The Greek word for provoke is the same word used in Deuteronomy 21 in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. That's the passage where an adult son has a rebellious spirit that is worthy of, God says, death, to be stoned. That's significant. Because the Apostle Paul is now saying, Christian moms, dads, Christian dads, moms, parents, you may actually be guilty of producing such a spirit in your child with the way you parent. That you would give them, cause them, compel them to have such a rebellious spirit that they'd be worthy of death. It may actually be your fault. Wow. Something worth thinking about, isn't it? Parenting matters greatly to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Both parent and child are accountable to King Jesus. Everybody in the house is under the lordship of Jesus Christ. He delights in a child's obedience to parents, and the Lord delights in a parent's consistent encouragement, refusing to push and provoke and be harsh, but instead to build up and correct God's way. He delights in it. Children and parents are being called, just like husbands and wives, to mirror the Lord Jesus and to magnify the Lord Jesus in the way they do home, God's way. Let me make some application. I'm going to try really hard not to preach a whole nother sermon during the application, but I can't guarantee anything. I want to make 2 points of application to children, and I'll be very brief with you. Children, 2 ways you must apply the Word of God here to your lives. Number one, take your obedience to your parents seriously. It's that simple. If God commands something, you ought to take it very seriously. It means it matters a lot to Him. In fact, in Romans 1:28-32, the Word of God says this, "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them but give approval to those who practice them." Now, who would have thunk in our culture that you should lump disobedience to parents in with all of that evil? God does it again in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. What was his counsel to Pastor Timothy? Avoid such people. God takes this seriously. I remember years ago in another church where I had to correct nursery workers because they were laughing at children being disobedient and saying smart aleck things to the adults and their parents in the nursery. And I took them aside and read these things and said, "Don't you ever laugh." Now I know sometimes as a parent, they're cute sinners. Every now and then you got to go in a closet somewhere. But by and large, the general principle is it's not funny. God's not laughing at any disobedience to parents. So children, take it seriously. Ask God to give you a heart that delights in obeying your parents like he does. Proverbs 15:5 says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is wise or prudent." That's number one for kids. Number two for kids, learn to honor your parents. This is really more for some of you who are transitioning into teenage years, adulthood. Learn to honor your parents all your lives. There comes a point where you're an adult. You're not, now you're the one who will marry and have families, and you'll be giving the orders, and children will need to obey you. There comes a time where you won't be obeying parents anymore. Some of you are in that transition period. It's interesting if you're parenting with me through that. It's not easy. We need a lot of grace to do it well, both young adults and parents. However, the command, the fifth commandment in the Ten Commandments, is to honor your father and your mother. That's good for life. Jesus condemned and convicted the religious leaders of his day, didn't he? For ignoring that command. They, as adults, would say, "I don't have to take care of my aging parents. I've devoted all that money to God." Well, that sounds holy and good. And Jesus said, "You have a fine way of ignoring the commandment of God while following your own traditions." God's not into loopholes, people. The cross of Jesus Christ emphatically denies loopholes. He bore the wrath for all of our loopholing. And so let's not look for them. Let's not seek them out. Honor your parents all the days of your life by the grace of God. One day, maybe you'll be the one changing your parents' diapers. That sounds funny and we make fun of it. I tell you, it's not funny. And you'll do it with joy in your heart for all the times they did it for you. Honor, children, your parents. This is God's commandment. It's what he delights in. All right. Parents, fasten your seat belts and pull down the oxygen mask. Seven surefire ways for parents to provoke their children. Seven surefire ways for parents to provoke their children. Here's your application. Number one, neglect to read the Bible, to teach the Bible, and to pray the Bible in your home with your children day in and day out. Just neglect that, and you'll provoke your children. We've already gone through enough commands of the Scripture to know God takes that very seriously. And I learned personally, I was warned by men who trained me that the more serious the church take this, the more heat you'll take as a pastor. It used to be, 100 years ago in this nation, churches of all denominations considered it a church disciplinary issue if they discovered there was a dad in their church not teaching the Bible every day to his kids. Why would they think such a crazy thought? Because God says that over and over and over in the Bible. And so if you say something like, "Well, I think it's reasonable to expect a dad to do that three times a week," shame on me. That's why I repented of it. I have no right to lessen God's standard. That's not what God says three times a week. He says, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you go out, when you come in, every single day. sharpen them. The word there in Hebrew is teach them diligently to your children. That word means like you're whetting a sword for battle. Sharpen over and over and over. If it gets dull, keep going. Sharpen, sharpen. You don't go into battle with a dull sword. That's what God wants. And can I just say, as a pastor, I have said this to Pastor Alex recently. I've said it to a lot of men that have been around me and trained me. And I love Pastor Alex. I brought him on staff. I want him to do what he's doing. I love his youth ministry. I love what our Sunday school's up to. I think every child in here could benefit from it. But I want you to hear me clearly. There's nowhere the Scripture commands you to send your children to Sunday school. There's nowhere the Scripture commands you to make sure your children are in a youth group. You dads in particular, but parents in general, are the ones God commands to do the day-to-day Bible teaching of your children. If I knew that the men in this church were setting that on fire for Jesus, I tell you, I'd sleep better at night. I want you in Sunday school and youth ministry. Even if you are doing that for your children, I think it's still good for you. But mainly I want most of you in there because I don't have a great deal of confidence that at least for some of you, it's happening very consistently anywhere else. The people who started the public schools, you can go back and do the research for yourself, they knew this. They set out to do this from the beginning. I can read you quote after quote from them, the framers of the public education system in America, who said, hey, you know what? Sunday school won't be able to counter 40 hours of secular instruction. See, they knew. They were right. They got it right. They've succeeded wildly. So, dads, mainly, I'm talking to you, but moms as well. Please, for the sake of Christ and the souls of your children, open up the Word of God, day in, day out. Read it, discuss it, pray over it, talk about it. If you feel like I have no idea how to do that, ask a family coach, ask a pastor, ask a brother in Christ. But for crying out loud, nothing you do as a parent will make more difference by the grace of God than that. I promise you, on the authority of God's Word. Amen. Nothing else will quite matter. Can I read you a C.H. Spurgeon quote? There's never a bad time for Spurgeon. But once let the family altar be forsaken, and let parents forget the natural duty of ordering their households before the Lord, and you may guard the church as you will, your labor will be vain. You have cast down her hedges. The bear out of the wood shall waste her. You have taken away the tower of the flock, and when the wolf comes, he will find the sheep an easy prey. Christian parents, with all my heart I would say to you, do not sin against the child by your ill example or by your negligence as to his salvation, but seek the Holy Spirit that to your own offspring you may fully discharge the solemn duties which providence and grace have thrown upon you. God help us. Read the Word. Talk about the Word. Teach the Word. Pray the Word with your children. Number two, surefire way to provoke your children to make sure they become discouraged. Number two, neglect to properly discipline your children regularly. Now, there's a principle in the Proverbs. I'm going to read you some. But the principle is this. Proverbs is God's special book on parenting, by the way. It's from a father to sons. And he repeatedly says, listen to me. Listen to your mother. So that's your book on parenting if you want it. You can't find a better book on parenting than the Proverbs. And over, we're told, Proverbs 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him. Proverbs 22:6-15, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him. Proverbs 23:13-14, do not withhold discipline from a child. If you strike him with a rod, he will not die. If you strike him with a rod, you shall save his soul from Sheol, from the grave. Proverbs 29:15-17, the rod and reproof give wisdom, But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. Any questions? This is one of those sermons I expect might one day get me jailed in this country. God is never, ever endorsing long-term harm to a child, abuse. Never. Not in a gazillion years. But God does say, I know best how to raise children. If you don't physically correct, spank your child. Aim at the butt, but don't forget the heart. Right? It's never about the backside. Spank early, spank often, but communicate the grace of God and the gospel always. That's the principle, I think, of the Proverbs. Just all this talking and instruction in the Word. And every now and then, you've got to make a consequence that makes the child say, that wasn't worth it. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to commit that sin again. I don't want to behave like that. The consequence was bad enough. I don't want to do it. So it's really just a matter of, do I think God knows better how to raise my child than I do? Or do I think the psychiatrists know better than God? Well, I hope our answer is clear on that. God knows best. Never again in a million years would God endorse abuse of a child, ever. But physical correction, you can't parent God's way without physically disciplining and then positively encouraging. They go hand in hand with the gospel, your child. All right, number three. Surefire way to provoke your child. These will get simpler as we go along, at least in time. Neglect to spend time with your children regularly. Don't give me this hogwash about, I spend quality time with my children. You show me the four-year-old that knows what that is. You show me the four-year-old that says, oh, it's okay that I almost never see my dad, because when he does, when he is around me, it's quality time. No, a child just needs time. A lot of it. It's a little human being made in the image of God. You're shaping and forming and instructing and loving and playing with. You got to spend time. There's a book up here that I commend to you, Disciple Like Jesus for Parents. It hammers home this principle. It's one of the many reasons we decided to keep our children home to educate them. Just because of the time we wanted to spend with them. We were convicted by that. Discipleship takes a lot of time. One of the most hauntingly true songs in the last 100 years that's ever been written was written by Harry and Sandy Chapin. My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. But we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away. But his smile never dimmed. It said, I'm going to be like him, yeah. You know I'm going to be like him. Well, he came from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and then said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and man in the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. We're going to have a good time then. Oh, God, help us not be cats in the cradle parents. God, help us. Spend time with them regularly. Number four, surefire way to provoke your child, neglect to express love and praise to them regularly. Proverbs 15, 1 and 4. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Proverbs 25, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Like a gold ring or ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his masters. These are the words we want to use as parents. Love, encouragement, love, encouragement. Build them up. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're proud of them. Build them up. Use words of grace, Ephesians 4, that don't tear down but build up. God help us. The ancient famous orator Cicero said, "Fear does not keep a person long in the path of duty." Now, early on, the parent-child relationship will inevitably involve a little fear, but that ought to start to morph very quickly into love and respect as the child grows. Love never fails, the Word of God says. That's how you parent. Not fear, love. Love never fails. Express love and praise to them regularly. This is good for all the adults in the church, by the way, as you just partner together to pour the Word of God and the love of God into these children all around us. Number five, surefire way to provoke your child, neglect to rightly order their priorities by example and direct guidance. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I read that somewhere. I heard that from the lips of the sovereign Savior Himself in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 6. Are you teaching your child that priority? By your example and by direct instruction. To love Christ and His church and to center your life up on that. I tell you, so many things flood my mind. My dad would not allow me to skip Wednesday Bible study as a teenager practicing football in high school. It was about a mile walk from my high school to my church, and he said, "You leave practice early and you will be on time to Bible study every Wednesday." And I was. And I brought a friend with me. I told him, "I won't be able to start, Dad. They won't let me start if you do that." And he went, "Who told you starting in football was your life priority?" Of course, I was wrong. The coach was actually very gracious. He respected that anybody would want, of course I didn't really want to, but I learned to want to by God's grace, but he respected the fact that anybody took faith that seriously. Well, it was my dad that was taking it that seriously. I was doing what I told you kids not to do, at least for a while, stomping down that 1 mile. But I learned to love him for it. I learned to respect. Listen, I see Christian parents all the time. It breaks my heart. The ways I see you allowing things to take priority over church, over God's people and the gathering and the assembly and the discipleship and the worship of the church. I don't think birthdays take priority. I don't think sports take priority. I don't think dancing takes priority. I don't think any of that takes priority. You wonder why when they're 19, 75% of them walk out of the church and they don't come back. God help us. Rightly order their priorities. Early in life, get that firmed up and shaped up. Christ and His church. Christ and His church. Christ and His church. The church 100 years from now will be thankful if you do. Number six, surefire way to provoke your children. Neglect to do marriage God's way. Delightful little book. It's not really that theologically deep, but it's down here called Do Your Kids a Favor, Love Your Spouse. Amen. Do marriage God's way. If you don't, trust me, you are provoking your children. How many of us have seen it, experienced it? God give us Christ-exalting marriages because it blesses our children. Number 7. This is it. Neglect to say yes to every good thing you possibly can as they grow and mature. Now, some of you are thinking, man, this guy is negative Ned today, isn't he? No, I mean, I hope I've not parented that way. Talk to my children. As they grow and develop, we ought to want, like, yes, it's like a garden, right? You do have to pull weeds, and you do have to teach your children by God's grace to pull weeds, things that are poisonous to them. Get them out of your life, pull them up, and get rid of them. But at the same time, man, you want to pour fertilizer on that and water it and watch that plant thrive. And yes, yes, child, all these things that are good and glorify God and are not dishonoring to the Word of God and the Son of the living God, yes, yes, go live a fruitful, productive, prosperous life in the name of Jesus. It's positive encouragement and the negative correction. It's the two rails God's given parents to grow beautiful gardens for the glory of Christ. Well, that's enough. Parenting is active, intentional, cross-centered lifestyle that aims at launching children out into the world as sharp arrows that will make deep impacts upon the home, the church, the nation, and the world. Can I say that again for the glory of Jesus? Parenting God's way is active, intentional, cross-centered lifestyle that aims to launch children out into the world as sharp arrows that will make deep impacts in the home, in the church, in the nation, and in the world. All for the name of the Lord Jesus. That's how you do home God's way. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Home God's way. Everybody living under the banner, Jesus is Lord. God make it so.